Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs. I am Tim. Welcome to the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. And today we're going to talk about Philip Klein, the Las Vegas arsonist. What do you think about that, Randy?
I am in favor of lighting shit on fire.
Well,
burn it all down. Start over.
Anyway, we're going to talk about the MGM Grand fire in Las Vegas. It's quite the tragedy, Brandy. But before we do, let me remind everyone that we are a true crime, kind of true crime comedy podcast. We make funnies. We sometimes make funnies. And occasionally we use adult language. That, of course, by we, I mean Brandy. And so we're going to talk about this Philip Klein, a guy who peed his pants, obviously.
Obviously.
What? A lot of bad shit happens in Las Vegas. Didn't they have a shooting in Las Vegas a couple of years ago?
That's why what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's why. Because a lot of bad shit happens. And yes, there was a mass shooting in Vegas a couple of years ago. That's not what we're talking about, though.
No.
While we were there a few weeks ago, there was a guy that held his family hostage in a hotel. So lots of awful things.
God, but why was it the Excalibur? Because I wouldn't stay at the Excalibur. Have you ever stayed at the Excalibur? It's like, I don't know. It's some
is it's it a one of the castle. Is it one of the older ones?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
It's, you know, it's not quite... It's like a step up from Circus, but...
Wait a minute. Did you have to put a quarter in the bed to get it to vibrate?
Massage
it
you.
One of those?
Yeah. I think it's one that... It's in one of the hotels where people with families. You know, why would you bring your fucking kids to Las Vegas, first of all?
I wondered that the second we landed. I mean, I thought, did we take a plane to Disney World? Why are there so many kids in this Las Vegas airport?
Dude, stay at Circus. It's all fucking kids.
Oh, no, thank you.
And that's Excalibur is like a step up from that.
It's named that.
But there are some seedier hotels, which is, I'm guessing, is what you're referring to, Thad. You know, it's not on the strip. They're just kind of...
They're kind of out of the way a little bit. Yeah.
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 Okay. Yeah, all of that. But does that have anything to do with what we're getting ready to
talk about? Well, it all happened
in Vegas. Because I'm familiar with Vegas. I've been to Vegas.
Have you really been to Vegas, though? Have you been to Vegas that I know? I used to hang out.
What?
I used to hang out.
Did you?
I mean, this is a little nasty we're talking to here. He knows Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. A little nasty.
Underbelly of Las Vegas.
Wait a minute. I know him. He did not go to some CDS hotel. Off the strip.
I hang out with my boys.
Where the lights are so that he can see as he's walking to where
I was there. I was there when Tupac was killed. So I got cred.
Did you kill Tupac?
Huh?
Did you kill Tupac?
No. I didn't say that.
Well, then I don't give a shit.
I didn't say that.
I was in Ohio when Tupac.
He just happened to be there.
Doesn't matter. I didn't kill anybody.
I just happened to be there. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like you should be questioned.
I mean, it was right after I visited Suge Knight in prison. He passed me a little, back, but it was just coincidence, really.
Suge Knight. You and Suge Knight.
You really are.
Suge fears really. Tim. He does. Suge does not talk shit about Tim.
No. He knows better.
He might just pee his cues.
So, yeah, Lil Nasty was there, and I saw it all go down. But
wait a minute. So for everybody that's listening, we have, when we go on to record, everybody just puts their name in. And so far, what I have here is Mad Thad, Lil Nasty. Well, that's Tim. I mean, of course. Buster, I don't even know what the fuck is my
Buster picture. Booty.
Buster Booty.
Buster Booty. Buster Booty.
He's an empty chair right now because he's not talking.
Yeah, he is an empty chair.
We're staring at his chair.
But, you know, and I just put in my name because I'm a normal fucking person. But whatever.
You're just not creative, Brandy. That's the problem.
I mean, Brandy, you're part of the crew, but you know, you're just kind of plain. You know what I mean? Some of us are spicy. Uh-huh. Some people are just plain.
How about this? She be Mama
Sita? Your plainness lets me shine.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Your plainness.
You talk a lot of smack for somebody who only eats pizza, plain hamburgers, and chicken fingers.
We could call you no flavor.
I mean,
you could be no flavor.
Dude, you live your life with no flavor. What are you even talking about?
Remember that. Remember that show where New York was on it? That woman that called New York.
New York?
Flavor Flav.
Oh, that's like, yeah, her, yeah.
That was the best show ever, man.
Why?
Oh my God. Remember the woman shit her pants on the show? You know, it was like one dramatic moment where Flavor Flav was going to send one of them home, and they were all gathered around, and this one woman, yeah, she soiled herself. So I sort of got to look it up on YouTube.
When I did roller derby, there was always a question, right? It was that thing of like, let's say it's game night, there's 4,000 people in the Cincinnati Gardens. You know, we're all there and you're on the track. Would you rather shit yourself or throw up on the track? And I
I'll
think
throw up.
Exactly. And that was always the answer. Yes. I mean, 100%. I would rather throw up on the track than shit myself. Speaking of throwing up, and let me just throw this out there. So we went 3 weeks ago to Vegas. We went to see Kelly Clarkson, which was amazing, right?
Yeah, I saw that you were hanging out with
her. To hang out with her for a brief minute. She came into the audience when we were where we were sitting. She walked through it, and I happened to be there, and I turned around, and she put her arm like around me, and Melissa took a photo, and in that moment, I was very close to either passing out or throwing up. So I'm glad that I didn't, because I wouldn't want to be the person that puked on Kelly Clarkson. That would be a bad memory.
Yeah,
you squeal like a little girl.
Not shitting yourself on her either. But you know what?
Yeah.
You know what, Thad? Had you shit on her or threw up on her, she'd always
remember.
This is true.
Yeah. She'd be telling Thad stories years
from now. Forever.
But did you squeal?
You know what?
I feel like
so
you did.
I actually did the opposite. I completely shut down. So, and I don't really remember the exchange, but Melissa said, once I got my picture, like I turned around, I went back to where our seats were, and I sat down, and I didn't say anything for like 5 minutes. I was just like catatonic. So I think my body was like, okay, this is too much. We need to shut everything down for a few minutes and do like a forced restart. And then we can.
And now what are you going to do? Like you've reached the pinnacle.
I don't know, man.
Life's over.
It's all downhill from here.
I mean, when that's it, there you go.
Yep.
And what I'm doing is I got a physical picture of me with Kelly singing. I will put it on the Dweebs group for anyone who gives a shit.
You can see it. You should get it on a shower curtain.
Put it on what now?
A shower curtain.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. Yeah. See, look at you with the ideas. I love it.
Pajamas.
Yep.
Now I know how, Brandy, now I know how people feel when they get to take a picture with me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I've always said that. Are you going to introduce people?
Yes. Well, I'm not people. I'm going to introduce you guys. I'm not going to interest just random people. That would be a dumb show. We are talking, of course, with our producer, Matt Thad, the producer. How are you today, Thad?
Hey, I am. I'm loving life. I turned 45 a couple days ago. I'm on the other side of it right now, and things are going well.
Death is on the other side of 45.
Yeah, I hear that. Happy but birthday. Also, what I learned was that I am now outside the demographic of anyone giving a shit. Because the demographic is 18 to 44. That's where advertisers kind of live. They live in that 18 to 44 demo. Once you're 45, they don't care. Like, my opinion no longer matters.
And once you, but also, you don't have to care about your appearance after 45.
This is
either.
Very true.
Because, like,
clearly,
you can walk, you know, you can walk to your mailbox in your boxers. No one really cares.
Well, I mean, I live in Claremont County. I can do that anyway, and no one's going to care. That's kind of par for the course. I mean, it's not the west side, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I go out in my boxers. You know, no one cares.
You're in Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm in Kentucky.
And I'm also betting that there are people that care and they just haven't said anything yet.
Well, they haven't.
Are you still in your condo?
Huh?
Are you still in your condo?
Yeah.
Yeah. So believe me when I tell you they do care. It's not like you're out in the middle of Hooterville and you wander outside in your boxers. Like, you are in a condo complex. They care.
Not after 45, they don't. They just kind of roll their eyes. Let me introduce the lady. I don't see Thad, so he...
You don't see me?
Oh, there's his camera. There's your camera.
Okay.
Busta Booty, by the way, is still not here. Chuck is running a little behind, to the surprise of no one. But let me introduce...
I think Chuck is on the phone with his lawyers because of copyright infringement of his book. Someone else stole his name and wrote his book, so he's...
I saw that. Yeah. Well, that might have been a ghost.
Like 30 years ago.
Isn't that amazing?
Like 30 years ago. I know. It's ridiculous.
That woman on that cover is probably dead by now.
Probably.
The a lady who needs no introduction. She is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent. Her Majesty, Queen Brandy the First. How are you, Brandy, if at all?
I'm all right, Tim. This week's been a bit of a shit show, but I am eternally hopeful that it will work itself out. So we're good.
How's young Noah?
Everybody in my... Young Noah's wonderful. He started middle school, so he is in seventh grade now. And he likes it.
Oh, good.
And yeah, so he's good, but he's in the seventh grade, which is, I know, which is hard to...
High school will be soon. 2 years he'll be in high school.
I know.
Ah, man. It's stupid, growing up crazy fast.
But he's good, and Jake is hanging in there, and
good.
We're all just trying to plug along.
And middle school is that time where hormones start to kind of get crazy. You know, things start to happen.
That's when you get the Sears catalog out when you're in seventh grade.
Oh my god! I mean, it's been great. It's been a wonderful thing. The hormones are always a good time.
Yeah,
and I remember it from my last son, and I have stocked up on Midol and anything else.
Yeah, you have to buy a lot of extra socks during that age.
Does Noah have very long hair?
No, that is his friend Kai.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So
Kai has they're playing video hair. Games.
I mean, I'm jealous of that hair. Like, seriously, like that's...
I know, right? Wow. I know he's got the best.
Preserve that at all costs, right? He just washes it with like berries and like nuts. Like, there, that's all that goes in that, right?
Probably. You know? Probably, you know, angel tears, whatever.
No chemical should ever touch that mane. No.
Oh, then sure
nope.
they don't.
Nope, nope.
And unless he's here, and then just we just have garbage ship. Right there.
Can you pass me the white rain, please? Right. Thank you.
I like coconut. I like coconut shampoo. You know, it makes my hair smell like coconuts.
That's an amazing story. Oh, I don't understand it, but okay. But no, everybody's just kind of plugging along, doing our thing.
Well, are you ready for DweebCon, which will occur in a couple weeks, a few weeks, next month?
I'm very excited for DweebCon. I'm actually going on a family vacation the first part of September, so I will be nice and tan and relaxed when I get to DweebCon. It'll be amazing.
Yeah, you're going to North Carolina?
Going to the Outer Banks, the whole fam damn way.
Wow.
That should be fun.
Except for Pacey, because he
So
sucks.
We leave... the Sunday of DweebCon for Disney World. So I've got...
Oh, nice.
Oh my God, this just never
I'm telling you, so
you.
I've got DweebCon Friday and Saturday, and then my wife and the in-laws...
You went on a cruise? Damn, man, how much money are you making?
I'm telling you, you know what? Being a kept man is not Baller. Too bad. It's, you know, I kind of enjoy it, you know?
We're going to, in October, we're going to Jackson Hole.
What?
Hang in it.
Why?
Go to Yellowstone and.
You know, I keep forgetting that she's not from around here. Like she would probably want to see some of that shit.
Yeah,
I forget.
Well, I want to see it too. I've never been out to Wyoming.
My parents have been there. Well, you know, they spent that big long vacation, went out there, and they had a ball and sent back all kinds of pictures, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Be ready to hike. I know you're a big hiker.
I am.
So
I am
ready to hike.
Surprisingly enough, I do like to hike.
You like to hike?
I'm not. It's okay. Not unusual for me to get 3,500 steps in a day.
Oh, whoa! Hold on.
Ooh.
Damn. Breaking
you know
news.
I love it. Like, I know. So, like, I have a step tracker at work because I'm just always curious because I'm running around all the time, and so, like, on my days off, you can or on days I work, it's like I'm getting 10,000 steps, 8,000 steps, all these steps. And then you can tell my days off, it's like 45 steps.
Yep.
Yeah, 108.
Oh, I got
steps.
It. I went to the kitchen once to get me a Coke or something.
Yeah, I did. I had to get up and go to the bathroom. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, it's, yeah.
Well, okay, it's I'm going time. To introduce Chuck since he's not even here, but I'm going to introduce
Let's do
his
it.
Chair. He is known as a man that people turn to in these troubled times.
He's known as a plagiarizer right now.
He's been called an oasis in the desert of despair. The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. And we hope that he'll be joining
you
us
let me tell you how he is.
Real soon. But right now, we're looking at his empty chair. So
he's not good, Timmy. He's not good.
Yes. Yeah.
He's got this neighbor, and Bo has been barking at the branches. The tree's coming over, and Rudy jumps on it, and Bo's mad. And so they've had to call people in. And so right now, Timmy, there are people out there cutting those damn trees down, tree limbs down out of his yard.
Yeah.
So that his dogs can get some sleep.
Well.
That is how that goes.
Thank you for bringing us up to date. But we do expect the Colonel Buster, or a.k.a. Busta Booty, to be here shortly.
Well, do we? Let's get started.
Okay. Arguably, the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, draws over 40 million visitors every year, and over 6 million of those attend a convention. See, remember when Hamilton County used to send people out to Vegas for conventions, and then these
yeah, probably thought better of it.
Well, you know, Channel 9, you know, their undercover team or whatever, caught the county engineers gambling. What a shock.
In Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah. So after that, we were never allowed to go to conventions in Vegas. But anyway, a lot of people have conventions there. More than 6 million attend conventions there yearly. Clark County.
That's the ABN.
Clark County, which includes the Vegas Strips, reported gaming revenues of more than $11.4 billion for 2021. That's a lot of money. And some of it is mine, Brandy.
Yes, it is.
Las Vegas is a city of spectacular architecture and signs with a million lights, as well as obviously, as well as obvious affluence. And cleverly concealed poverty. Yeah, you get off the strip, it's shit.
It immediately goes downhill. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And what I love is, who goes to Vegas to look at the spectacular architecture? I mean, I get it. It's cool. But nobody's going like, I really want to see how.
Yeah, I get you. I want to go to Florence. I want to go to Venice. I want to go to Barcelona. Oh, yeah, I want to go to Vegas.
You can do all these things in Vegas.
New York, yeah. New York. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
It brings those things to you, though. You don't have to go to them. It brings it to you all in one place. It's like Epcot.
It brings it all to you.
Superlatives, both positive and negative, flourish in Sin City. Ooh, I like that Sin City there. It's nice there, that.
Yeah, he made that up. Made it up.
The Bellagio Hotel. Did I get that right?
Bellagio.
Yes.
One of the biggest hotels in the nation with more than 5,000 rooms, along with the largest glass pyramid in the world, are just two examples of the extravagance that is Las Vegas. The famous strip, which runs along Las Vegas Boulevard and its neighboring streets close to downtown, is known as City Without Clocks. The multi-billion, that's true, they don't have clocks in any of the casinos, do they?
They don't?
No.
They keep it dark, so you don't know if it's daylight or dark when you go outside. Well, you do when you go outside. Yeah. The multi-billion dollar industry serves those who dream of hitting it big and indulging in almost any way you wish. Got a lot of hookers in Vegas, but I guess it's illegal in Clark County, isn't it?
In Clark County, prostitution is illegal, but I feel like they turned their head
to the desert
to it, right?
Do what?
Well, if you go to the desert to do the deed, then you're outside Clark County sometimes.
Yeah, isn't that where the rabbit ranch or whatever they call it?
The bunny ranch.
The bunny ranch.
Yeah.
Rabbit ranch.
I don't know. But nothing is all puppy dogs and rainbows. So I'm sorry to break that to you, Brandy, because I know what an optimist you are.
I am. So am.
Las Vegas has had its share of tragedies. Two of the biggest and most costly fires in the city's history happened just 81 days apart in the early 1980s.
And those 80s were a wild time.
They were wild times.
I mean, you had MTV. That's when they had it. And
well, you had New Coke. You had Men Without Hats.
New Coke. Gross.
Men Without Hats.
You had Men Without Hats. That's right. It was a wild time. It really was.
Oh my God.
I love this.
Aquanet hairspray.
Did you like the safety dance, Brandy? Are you partial to that?
I like this song. It's all right.
Okay.
New Wave is where it's at. Always.
Walk a seagull.
When I was 18, I operated lights and sound for a new wave band, and we had to wear these real thin ties. I guess they were.
That was fashionable at the time.
Devo, you know. Yeah, I got pictures of me somewhere with it. Yellow shirt.
Please find those.
A gold shirt with a yellow tie.
Oh.
Do you have a mullet still in those pictures?
I know. No, I've never had a mullet. I had like punk hair, but I've never had a mullet.
Whatever it is, it was a mullet. Whatever you want to call it, it was a mullet.
No, I've never had a mullet.
And you had it.
No. Never had a mullet.
Keep telling yourself that. All right.
A mullet is, anyway, you know, business up front and Carnival Cruise in the back. Like that's the mullet. There you go.
Yeah, but yeah, I never had a mullet. Okay. I had punk hair.
He had punk hair.
I kind of look like Rod Stewart.
I don't.
Yeah, I did. I kind of look like Rod Stewart.
I don't think that is the person that I would have compared you to in the pictures that I've seen.
A lot of people compare me to Rod Stewart, but now I'm a little nasty.
Well, those people who compare you to Rod Stewart, you should definitely continue to be friends with them, because clearly,
well, I mean,
they're there just to pump you
up. I didn't say I sang like Rod Stewart. I just said I looked like Rod Stewart. But okay, don't believe me. I got the tail to prove it. All right, where was I, Dad? I'm totally lost.
Nothing is all puppy dogs and rainbows.
It sure isn't. Las Vegas has had its share of tragedies, as I mentioned. There's two big fires, 81 days apart in the early 1980s. The MGM Grand, then, was the Hilton. Officially, two different causes for what set the buildings on fire. But some of those involved in investigation, it isn't that simple. Get that, Brandy? There's some question there.
Of course there is.
I try to sound like that guy on Dateline.
Stone Phillips? Yeah. Oh, he doesn't do that anymore.
Stone Phillips?
He was the OG.
No, you're talking about... I remember Stone
Phillips. Well, first of all...
He's talking about Keith.
That's a stage name. Stone. Who names their kid Stone? Mrs. Stone Phillips.
Well, obviously Mrs. Phillips did.
I think that's bullshit. I think his name was Larry.
You know what?
Larry
Phillips. Let's ask the Google machine. And
it fucking lies.
Stone Stockton Phillips.
Stone Stockton.
Yeah, Stockton.
He was born it gets better. Was born in Texas City, Texas.
There you go.
Wow. Texas City, yeah. Texas. Yay. Gotta love it.
Stone Phillips.
Some fucking Yahoo.
He was Stone born in 1954. Phillips. Wow.
You know, Stone Phillips is doing better than all of us, so let's give him that.
Fuck
Stone. Let's not rag on Stone. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, the Hollywood film studio, Metro Golden Mayer, who I don't want to brag, but I knew Mr. Mayer back in the day. He
was a fan of Lil' Nasty.
He was a fan of Lil' Nasty. He was gonna put me on the Little Rascals.
Hmm.
I was a little nasty and the Little Rascals, but that never panned out. Well, you know, it was that fucking Alfalfa. That motherfucker.
Yeah.
He stole cut all you up of it. The back, man. Bastard. He got shot, and I'm glad.
Did you shoot him?
No, but he got shot over $50. He tried
over
to steal
some 50, dogs.
Huh?
Wasn't he the one that got shot over some dogs?
I think he got shot over $50, but you might be right. I don't know. I think I shot someone owed him 50. He owed someone $50 or something, and they got in a. But anyway, fuck Alfalfa. He cost Little Nasty a spot on the Little Rascals.
Yeah, it's Alfalfa's fault. Sure.
Well, really, to be honest, you know who took Stymie's really one to fuck me up, because they had a quota of how many African Americans they could have.
Here, what we're gonna do. I'm going to stop you there, and we're just going to go ahead and start reading the script, because you've lost your damn mind.
Well, you know, they would have been on a lot longer.
I don't understand.
Little Nasty would have been on the...
Yes, it would still be running if Little Nasty had been on.
Yeah,
right.
Little Nasty would have been
It'd still be on
game.
TV.
Been a lot
yes,
better.
Yes, I know.
Fuck that Darla,
know,
too.
Sweetie.
She's a tease.
Okay. I'm sorry that Darla... is giving you some kind of dysfunction.
She's one of my hoes, though.
I have no doubt that Darla was your hoe. Whatever.
All right. Originally opened in 1974, December 4th, one day before the Colonel's birthday. By the way, who has yet to join us here? We're in 30 minutes into the podcast. And he told us,
by the
go
way,
ahead
it was
and start.
Actually
I'll
open.
Be there in 10
I
minutes.
Know.
This is the one, this is the episode you should record, Thad, because you can see his empty fucking chair there.
1973.
Yeah, 1973. The MGM Grand in Las Vegas was 26 stories and had 2,100 guest rooms. The hotel was rebranded under the name Bally's and is now known as the Horseshoe Casino as it operating today. Bally's, I think I'm going to the gym, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wouldn't stay there.
And it was the same ordeal. In fact, they also owned arcades. There was a Bally's arcade in the mall close to my home when I was a kid. So all run by the same, we'll say, organized outfit. And we'll leave it at that.
I see. On Friday, November 21st, 1980, the deadliest fire in Las Vegas history tore through the MGM Grand Casino floor and stretched as far as a football field. So, Brandy, that's 100 yards. Just keep you, you know, just so that you can follow. It says here.
Most, listen, for the guy that doesn't know 73 from 74, you need to calm your tit.
The most firefighters, investigators will tell you that the fire began inside the wall of a pastry cooler in the downstairs restaurant. Yeah, see, pastries. People don't need pastries. Give me a fucking donut. They don't need pastries.
They always said donuts would kill you. In this case, well, donuts killed.
Donuts or pastries. I know you. It's hard. Yeah.
Others believe the fire was set by a serial arsonist, Brandy. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, as long as he leaves Captain Crunch alone, I'm all right.
Most firefighters, I already said that. The suffocating smoke raced through the hotel and the casino. Part of the problem was that no sprinklers existed in the areas that had 24-hour supervision. This means there was no sprinklers in the casino.
Yeah, so what that means is kind of just if there were not people there 24/7, which the casino would have been the only place that had security guards and staff there 24/7, they figured, I guess, they could report that there was a problem. So why do you need sprinklers? Why do you need fire suppression paraphernalia? Seems such a waste. Well,
it's all the devil's tools.
Former Clark County Fire Department Chief Fire Investigator. Jesus Christ, that's a title. Former Clark County Fire Department Chief Fire Investigator Mike Patterson. I think that name's
CCF,
made up.
CCFDCF.
He had really big business cards.
CCFDCFI. Yep,
anyway, his name was Mike Patterson, which I think is a fake name. It's an alias.
Sounds like a fake name for sure.
Said that the pastry cooler theory, and this is quotes here, Brandy, getting hot all the time from the compressor, and this was over a period of years, and it finally broke and shorted out. End quote.
Okay.
What do you think about that theory, Brandy?
It's possible. I mean,
85 people died.
It's not out there.
85 people died, most from smoke inhalation and carbon monoxide poisoning.
Nah, fuck off that. He doesn't get that. You don't get to do that to him for showing up. That's like you get excited for people to show up to do their job. Woohoo! Fuck off. He's supposed to be here.
Look, I have been.
Buster Booty is in
Buster
the house.
Buster Booty coming in.
But here's the thing. I already went through what he would say. None of you cares. We got to keep it moving.
Keep moving. I'm sorry. I was on the phone with my agent. Now you know they're doing a reboot of the series Justified. They
keep that out of your mouth.
They want to do they're thinking about doing a short series, a 6-episode series on my life. They're going to call it Objectified, Devil, because that's pretty much what I've been through my whole life. Women just objectify me. They think I'm just a pretty face and,
you're just a piece of
and
meat.
And
we can
vouch for you, Colonel. You're not a pretty face. We can vouch for you.
And so I had to negotiate that deal out and make sure the tree didn't fall in my house. So,
well, we're glad you're here, Colonel. Better late than never, I say.
That's what I say.
Is it?
And you joined us just in time, Colonel, because it's Talk Like a Kennedy Day.
It's not. So, now
85 people died mostly due to smoke inhalation and carbon monoxide.
Why? Why is that?
Yes. Yes. 600 additional people were injured.
600.
I want to hear about Becky Chris Manakakis.
Yeah, what kind of fucking name is Becky Manakakis?
Nope, that's not her name. It's Gris.
Gris
Manakakis.
Maniscos. Gris Manakakis.
All right. I bet she's Greek.
It's a good. Or she married somebody Greek. I mean, I think that's pretty good.
She probably gets those
pretty good gas.
Eats those gyros, probably.
If one was so inclined, Timmy, I have a question for you.
Eat a gyro.
If one was so inclined, where might one find a copy of this script we're doing?
Oh, you know what? Just, don't bother.
Just look pretty. Don't Carl. Bother. Just look pretty.
Okay.
Just sit there and look pretty.
Son of a bitch.
So anyway, this well, Becky.
Timmy, I had to. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry, but I had to. After, because of the way they're cutting the trees and everything.
We're on a time.
I had to go park my car.
Oh, yeah. You did. Did you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You need to park your car.
I had to go park my car.
What are we? Why are we doing this? Is there a Kennedy and in here that I am not aware of?
I had my son.
Remember
down,
we
and
remember when we used to have when we used to did talk like a Kennedy mm-hmm. day on our episode.
Those was the good old days, Timmy.
They really were. I really enjoyed talk like a Kennedy day.
Colonel, right, so Colonel,
Dad, can you talk baby. Like a Kennedy?
Colonel, you should have a copy of the script in your email box, sir.
Of course
I can. I actually I do a really good impression of John F. Kennedy. You want to hear it?
All right, go ahead. Yeah. that's
so
bad.
There's that.
That's bad.
Too soon.
Here's mine.
Too
of
soon.
Kennedy. Ow, God damn it, that hurt.
I hate
could
you
somebody,
so much.
Could somebody just pick up my brain off the top of the sidewalk, please?
Jackie was getting it.
Put that in the
bitch
cooler
me getting form. My brains off your
Jackie,
dress.
Jackie, grab my brain, please. Don't
all
worry.
Of your skills, every one of you. Fat, I thought you were better, but you're clearly not.
Brandy, oh, let me say this. Apples grow from apple trees. That's how it is.
You know, all right, I'm not going to say it. But, you know.
And how does one tree have so
you know
many
she said,
apples?
You know, she said, this is a $7,000 dress, you motherfucker.
Why are we talking about the Kennedys? There's nary a Kennedy in this story.
There's always a Kennedy behind the scenes somewhere.
You are like a fucking coked up squirrel, Tim. You're just all over the goddamn place.
Let me talk about Becky. Becky.
Who?
Becky Grimamuskasa.
Nope.
She was
that's
a,
not it.
She's a criminal investigator with the district attorney's office in Vegas and said that 8 people lost their life because a set of donors to the
doors,
field room.
Doors.
They're doors.
Oh, doors.
That are like donors, but not at all.
What page are we on?
Two.
On page 7. Eight people lost
two. Top of page 2,
lives
Colonel.
Because a set of the doors to the Ziegfeld room, one of the showrooms in the hotel, had doors which were chained shut on the wrong side. Well, it makes it difficult to get outside.
Ain't that a bitch? Can you imagine dying because someone fucked that up? Someone chained the wrong side of the door?
Yeah.
Yes, I actually can.
Well, I'm not really sure if you're putting chains on the door, Thad, if you can put them on the wrong side.
This is true, I guess. Right.
Because even if she could get to them, it's not like she could pick the lock before her ass caught on fire.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. So anyway, if they had not chained the door, this Becky lady was saying 8 people would have been 8 people would have been saved had they not had locked, you know,
had they not been
locked,
locked in.
Door
yeah.
on their fucking
oh,
room.
That's Becky the DeGreek.
Yeah, and Becky DeGreek.
Becky Greek and
Becky
I.
Becky DeGreek.
She was yeah. This is Jimmy DeGreek's. One of
it's
his
really
princesses.
Not.
Now, the people inside yeah. fought to get out, but would ultimately perish due to the excess smoke. Or at least we hope that is what killed them.
As opposed to
Becky's
burning to
husband.
Death.
Yeah. Now, this bitch got a husband named Stanley. Mm-hmm. This Becky Grimock.
Griswold. Becky Griswold.
Yeah, bitch got a husband named Stanley, mm-hmm. who is a former Clark County firefighter. I mean, that's some fucking shit there. If you're
what the fuck?
If you're related to someone, you know, one of these fucking Greeks.
Yeah, they're all related to me. They're all related.
I mean,
what the fuck is wrong
from a
with
tiny
you,
little
Tim?
Island. They're all related.
I mean, Jesus Christ.
I go to a couple Greek restaurants around here. I ask him, hey, do you know John Basilio? Yeah, that's my cousin. Hey, do you know Donna?
That's what I'm saying. That's some fucking bullshit that all these people work for the county or related.
Oh, that's nepotism. That's nepotism.
You're goddamn right.
It's a height of nepotism, Timmy.
The fucking height. Oh,
you know she had to sleep with Stanley to get that job, Timmy.
She probably did. Now,
Stanley's her husband.
You know.
So probably.
It is her job.
You know, he's tall and thin. Mm. His name is Stanley. Every Stanley ever born.
Flat Stanley.
Was tall and
thin. He's flat.
Yeah.
He's flat. People send him in envelopes overseas. Yes, all the things. Flat Stanley. Okay. Can we move
on? You know, your name's Stanley. If your name's Stanley in high school, you're never getting laid. I'm just telling you, you're just not. You're just not getting laid. You might as well just, you know.
You're probably not.
You buy a lot of porn because it's going to be a lonely 4 years in high school if your name is Stanley.
I don't know how
I knew it. I knew a guy named Steve Stanley. His last name was Stanley, but everyone called him Yank.
Yank.
And no one knew why. No one knew why.
Yeah, it's a mystery.
But we called him Yank.
She gets Scooby on it.
Called him Yank. No one knew why. And we used to, when he come, we played baseball, and when he come on, he was a pitcher. And when he come in to pitch, we would all start shouting, yank me, turn me over and spank me.
If I have had a dollar for every time I've heard
that. Oh, my God.
I have never heard that story. Let me just say that's fabulous. That is a fantastic story.
Yank Stanley.
Has it been noted, Timmy, that I have been alone in my house with two dogs and a cat for 2 weeks?
It's the best thing ever.
I had Cheetos for breakfast.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did. You know what? Round it out and have some ice cream.
You know what? I've been home since last Saturday. Since I came home. Leanne is still in England. I haven't made the bed once. Not fucking one time.
I haven't made the bed once either. You know what? And I haven't. You know what else I haven't done? She's made me water the goddamn flowers in the whole yard. And this place is like a goddamn nursery around my yard. And you know what I don't do, Timmy? You know what I don't do?
It's like
I don't roll that goddamn hose back up when I'm done.
Oh.
God, no, I don't. Why would I roll a fucking hose up just to get back, get it, unroll it, and water the plants
now,
the next day?
Let me ask this, and this is an important question.
He's got a point, Brandy.
Well, let me ask this, though. And the hour or two before she comes back, will you be making the bed and rolling the hose before she comes through the door?
Goddamn right I will be.
Okay, you will.
Well, actually, I won't be because Logan will be here. I told him, Tuesday night, you get your ass over to this house. We got to do a blitzkrieg of cleaning. Apparently, my dogs and my cats, they shed a great deal. And it looks like goddamn tumbleweeds just rolling across my hardwood floors in the house. I never noticed that shit before.
Yeah.
Mrs. Colonel never noticed the difference, Colonel, time you're done.
Oh, no, she won't. I figured out a secret with women, Timmy. Nope. Listen closely, folks. You go in. This is for men, this is a thing you need to know. You go into the bathroom, okay? You get yourself some disinfectant wipes with the bleach on them, right? You just wipe down the surfaces, and then you pour a bunch of bleach in the sink and in the toilet. Let it sit for a long time so the whole goddamn house smells like bleach. Now, women are conditioned to when they, because the olfactory senses are powerful things. So when they smell that bleach, their brain automatically goes to clean. Everything they look around,
that's pine saw, you dumb fuck.
Huh?
That's true.
It's pine saw, you dumb fuck.
No, conditioned. It's bleach. They're conditioned like.
It works like a goddamn chunk.
Keep telling this. Listen. I want to hear about these fuckers in this fire. I could give a fuck. A flying fuck, actually. Whether you scrub everything in bleach and then burn the shit.
I'm just trying to help the man out there. You seem a little cranky this morning, Devil.
She does.
I have to go to work.
You're a little high strung today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, you in the middle, cocaine squirrel, you need to just settle the fuck down. You're making yourself cry. And there's just no reason for it.
I'm just saying, I peed with the seat down and I didn't care.
Goddamn right. And you know what? Got some on it. Didn't wipe it off. Didn't wipe it off. I may at one time peed in the sink, Timmy.
Why were you waiting in line
bar? There's a whole subreddit group, I found this out, of men who prefer to compulsively pee in the sink in a bathroom. Now, here's something I got to ask you.
Well, I mean, you don't have to hang as far, you know?
Right. You can just rest it on there, you know? Let it dribble. Now, I go in, I'm going in now like a normal human being. I'm going to use the urinal at work, right, Timmy?
Right.
And I open up the door, but the stall door is open, right? And I see in the stall a folding chair. What the fuck is going on there?
Do you investigate?
I have been investigated. I've been sneaking into the bathroom. I go back there about every half hour, come in very gently. One day I came in, Timmy, and I saw a pair of feet and, a pair of shoes under the stall. It was cold, but they was facing the wrong way. And I know that some bitch was sitting in that chair, but I don't know what he was doing.
Probably crying.
So.
I mean, were there two people in there?
Just one. I don't know who it was yet, but you know what? Next time, I'm just going to kick that stall door open and say, what the fuck are you doing in here?
You should do that. You know what? Film it so you can put it on TikTok, because we all want to know.
Everybody wants to know.
Yeah, we need some TikTok material. We need some YouTube material. We need to get on it.
I don't want to know.
I think we've lost Brandy.
She's in the kitchen.
Brandy's making herself some, in Venezuela, Timmy, they call frosted flakes zitas, which means little sugary things. I think Brandy is making herself a bowl of little sugary things. Oh no,
I never knew that.
Apparently, she's just getting a daiquiri in a can is what she's got. She got a straw there. So.
Well, anyway, Becky's husband, Becky Grissom.
Do you blame me for drinking?
Her husband, yeah. Stanley Grissom Macacus, is a former Clark County firefighter.
We're only on the top of page two.
Dude, I'm telling you, I cannot.
He worked to clear the 17th and 23rd floor. Oh, okay, so Stanley's a good guy. He worked to help people get out of there. So
why would you think he wouldn't be a good guy?
Well, he's Stanley,
based on his name?
Because he's got his wife the job. She didn't take
civil. Well, you don't know that he didn't.
She didn't get.
She didn't have her
civil service test.
No, goddamn it. Yeah, her civil service test was taken on her knees. That wasn't no pencil.
Yeah, exactly.
You want this job? Get over here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was some hair pulling. Yeah.
He remembers the heat was everywhere. He said,
"Bully!"
And the smoke. Smoke.
Well, you said. Stanley. Stanley is like having a name like Theodore, and it made me. I'm sorry.
Colonel, sing a little bit of Viva Las Vegas.
Viva!
Oh, my God.
Las Vegas. Viva! Las Vegas. Viva! Viva! Las Vegas.
Nice, Colonel. Nice. All right. So he remembers that the heat was everywhere, and the smoke was so thick he could barely see his hands in front of his face.
It's kind of like my basement right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Colonel, you got 800 people, 2,000 people. How many people trying to save their lives? Their lives are in dangerous fire, and this guy's looking at his fucking hand.
Right.
Well, you know what I'm saying? Yeah,
exactly. Come on. Well, you know why I was looking at
fucking
his hand?
Stanley.
His name's Stanley. He didn't want to get that hand burned. His sex life's going to go away forever.
That's true. You got to admit that that's true, Brandon.
Hold on, I'm going to try an experiment here, Timmy.
I admit nothing as Chuck sits in his hookah lounge.
Oh, holy shit. I know what Stanley felt like. Okay.
Yeah.
While looking for guests, after looking at his hand, to evacuate, he came across bodies in the hotel rooms and in the hallways as well. as well as the elevator where guests were desperately trying to escape. He had to move bodies out of the way in order to get others to the roof, so they could be airlifted to safety.
Can I get a little clarification on that? Now they're desperately trying to escape. Have you seen people calmly try to escape a fire?
No, usually they panic.
It's usually desperate. It's like being viciously murdered. You know.
Well, what when he go in the elevator and he sees him, does he just say, "Oh, excuse me"?
Yeah.
You know.
You're not.
I'll get the next one.
But you know how they are, though. They're please calmly go to the exit. You know, walk slowly. So they're
fuck that.
Those are instructions, right? I mean, I don't know if they're followed, but
they always say to me,
"You know, I'd be right walking over bodies. I don't
goddamn
care.
Right." And you know, they always say adversity shows the true character of a man. No, a house on fire will show the true character of a man. Running over the top of your kid. Get the fuck out of my way, Taylor. That shows the true character.
So it's like a, you know, it's like a
this
Who
would
concert
never have
here.
Happened. You know, this would have never have happened if this.
Do I need to be here for this shit?
Yeah, Brandy, we want your input. If
no, you don't.
If this fire had taken place instead of the MGM, if it had taken place at the Circus, because the clown would have put the fire out with his big shoe.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You know the flower on his lapel. Don't be stupid.
All right. Anyway. All right. So he's trying to say, Stanley, the hero here, got his job through nepotism. He's not saving anybody because he's not a real fireman. He just got his job because he slept with this Becky chick. Anyway.
Hold on. Who got the job? I thought Becky got the job because she slept with Stanley.
Well, I don't know.
I feel like that could be an episode all on its own, right? Like, we should examine that.
And Devil, don't get too worked up because we're going to get to your part soon. And when we get there, it'll only take 2.5 minutes as you do the Devil Herman speed reading course. People actually
know that woman,
slow down your
you know that woman who taught, you remember that
I do
book?
Not do that.
Do you know that book, that woman wrote that book about speed reading? You remember back in the day, Chuck?
Yeah.
She was my brother's high school English teacher.
Really?
Yeah. She talked,
oh my God,
she talked
that's
real fast.
Amazing.
She talked real fast, too. She was really famous.
Is that your brush?
Zach, can you look that up,
fame?
The woman who wrote the book on speed reading?
Oh, dude.
That's your brush
Danny,
with fame.
I need you to find me the speed reading chick.
All right, anyway, let me go on with the story.
You know, they tried to teach that to Helen Keller, and she got blisters all over her fingers.
Oh, my God.
She got blisters, too, Colonel, when she reads porn.
Yeah.
Would that be Ms. Evelyn Nielsen Wood?
Yeah. It's Evelyn Wood.
Evelyn Wood. Evelyn Wood. Yeah. Evelyn Wood. She was my brother's high school English teacher.
Hmm.
Mike, asking.
Okay.
Your dad. Just asking.
All right.
All right, so the determination of the fire was blamed on as an electric accident.
Now, let me ask this real quick. Was she his English teacher like our uncle wrote Hard Candy Christmas, or was she really his English teacher?
She really was
his
English teacher. Our uncle claims to wrote Hard Candy Christmas, but he's not really all there.
Okay.
Or he wasn't all right. He's dead now, but
so we'll
he wasn't
never really
all there
know
when he was here. Well, we do. He didn't write it. Anyway, another little fascinating fact about me, Brandy. That's why all the ladies like little
nasty.
Yeah, little nasty.
Me and Busta Booty and little nasty.
Yeah.
Colonel, I was telling them how they wanted. I was telling him how Hal Roach had recruited me to be on the Little Rascals, but
Stymie.
They hired Stymie instead, and they didn't hire Lil Nasty.
Well, you know why, Timmy.
Why?
You know
why.
Here's the thing. No.
Well, what's
No, we don't.
No, because
we're letting it go.
Little
What, because Steiny had bigger hair, better hair?
No, it didn't have nothing to do with that. It had all to do with what he was willing to do to get that job.
Oh, I see.
I mean, sometimes...
Like, be better than him? Like
Stanley Grisman, that's just what he did.
Yeah. I was before my time. Lil Nasty was before his time.
Mm. Oh, my God. I don't...
But I do know Suge Knight.
No, you don't.
I do. We're tight.
Let's just talk about this fire.
Okay. Well, the determination of fire was blamed on an electric accident. It did not come without controversy, however. Just 81 days later, on February 10th, 1981, a fire at the Las Vegas Hilton killed 8 people and caused millions of dollars in damage. Former fire investigator, this is a different one. This one's not Nate. This is not a Greek guy. Lauren Lompre.
Nope. Lauren Lompre.
Lauren.
Not Laura. There's not even an A in there. In either name, there's not an A.
Lauren Lompre. Lauren Lompre.
Not Lauren. Lauren.
Stated in an interview after the fire that the MGM fire, tragic as it was unfortunately just an electrical fire. No, not arson, but an electrical issue within the wall. Now, however, when the Las Vegas Hilton caught on fire, Lompre allegedly gave a different story about the incident just a few months after the MGM burnt down. So we got some different stories here, Brandy. Are you suspicious?
I
think someone
so
did a dastardly
suspicion.
Deed here is what I'm feeling.
Oh my God.
However, okay. So Bob Hilliard, a homicide detective, claims he encountered Lompre at the Hilton and heard a terrifying story. Lompre claimed that the same person who set the building on fire also set the MGM on fire. Hillard alleges that Lompre drew a diagram on the back of a Keno slip to show him how the MGM fire was set. I never played Keno myself. Have you, Colonel?
No. Keno's a sucker's game, Timmy.
Yeah, I've never played it.
I like roulette, Timmy. Me and James Bond, we're roulette players.
Not that much, because you're sitting here.
He showed exactly how the suspect had caused the MGM arson fire, Hillard said. When he told me that, he was furious within his department and became quite angry because they had said they had swept it under the rug.
Speaking of casinos, Timmy.
Yeah.
The Washington Redskins, which was obviously an offensive name, they had to change their name to the Washington Commanders, right?
Right.
But how come Vegas can get by all these years and nobody's saying nothing about the game blackjack?
I don't know, Colonel. You're raising awareness.
It should be called 21 to me. 21. There should be. Because there's a red jack, too. There's two red jacks. And why'd they have to pick the jack? Jack?
I don't know. They should have picked the queen.
They should all be investigated.
Why not the queen?
I'm just saying. Brandy, so anyway, wandering away from your house, the ankle bracelet's going to go off if you get about 10 feet further.
Don't worry about that. Jail would be preferable to
what?
Sitting here listening to
you.
What
kind of day glow you got on those nails? You could be seen.
Are you auditioning for the Maury show, Brandy? Because
no, not today. Not today.
All right. So anyway, there's some this Chuck Hilliard guy. He's thinking, hey, what's going on here, right? Because
I think a lot of people.
It's supposed to be an electrical fire, but maybe there's some connection here, and it's being swept under the rug. You should not sweep a fire under the rug, Brandon.
No, you should.
Just saying.
I agree. They'll set the rug on fire.
You know what I never understand, Timmy? Firemen always show up with hoses and not blow torches. So why do we have the saying, fight fire with fire?
I
Colonel, are you raising? Are you raising?
I mean, if that really was the case, why don't they show up with those, you know, blowtorches and the things the military use? What are those called?
Flamethrowers.
Yeah.
Gliders.
Yeah. You can't fight fire
with it with a grenade.
Yeah.
So anyway, another person who claims to have overheard the same discussion was former Detective Chuck Lee. Lee assisted in identifying Philip Klein, a busboy. Oh, you know his busboys are always pissed off. Oh, those goddamn
busboys.
Yeah. He identified Phil Klein, a busboy who was responsible for the Hilton fire. You know, there was a busboy in California, Brandy, that held Robert Kennedy's head while he died.
Mm-hmm. There was.
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah.
But, all right. I mean,
please don't die, Mr. President.
He wasn't president then. He was just a candidate.
Kennedy?
So he probably... Yeah. Oh, that's why it's talking about Kennedy.
The other one.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He said, Mr. Kennedy, someone shot you in the head. And RFK said, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my God.
It hurts. It hurts.
Do you have a headache, Mr. Kennedy?
It's a flesh wound.
Jesus. Come on.
And you know that busboy is thinking, I've got to clean up this fucking floor now.
I know.
Motherfuckers.
You know, Brandy, I was worried that you were going to miss your pages while you were outside smoking, but we've not gotten closer at all.
No,
so anyway,
it seems like hold on. It seems like now even Thad's getting annoyed with us, Timmy. They're starting to be. We need another person on here because I see a 2-2 alliance forming, Timmy. I mean,
he's just been on the show for like 3 weeks.
We're not.
He's already tired.
I mean, people tune in to see Busta Booty and Lil Nasty. You know,
that's damn right.
Bust some poetry. So,
well, if you were doing that, it would be great.
They tune in to hear Bust a Booty, Little Nasty Spit. That's what they do. They turn every week to hear us spit.
Word, Timmy. Word.
So, anyway.
Yes.
Anyway.
They tune in to hear two old white guys try and. Spit out the name. Now,
don't
whatever
be
the fuck that Greek
don't
name was.
Don't front me.
Don't front me, Brandy.
Chris Amonakis.
Is your album going to be dropping in time for DweebCon? That's just what we all want to know.
I'll be in the studio then, Timmy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Timmy might be putting a release out though.
No, not yet. Jesus. No, I mean, not yet. I have to talk it over with Suge.
Suge, my producer. Suge says,
you do that.
See, I told him, I dangled Suge out a window by his ankles all the time.
Oh, I know, He told me he's scared of you, Colonel. Suge Knight told me he's scared of you.
He's going to come kill you. He's going to come kill you now. So
I just want to say I have the utmost respect for Suge Knight. I think he's a tremendous man.
Exactly.
You know, I had
a good family man, nice guy.
Great at spotting talent, because that's how he discovered Busta Booty and Lil Nasty.
I'm pretty.
You know what, Thad? This is getting ready to be our podcast. So sit down and figure out what we want to talk about.
Okay.
Because he's going to kill them.
Okay. Another right. person who claims.
Isn't Suge Knight dead?
No, he's in prison, I think.
I'm pretty sure he's dead. Danny?
I think maybe.
Anyway, there's a. Let me get back to the story.
That'd be great.
It was determined that Klein had a history of starting fires in his workplace. Well, I mean, really, who hasn't wanted to start a fire?
Who doesn't?
Who hasn't wanted to start a fire in their workplace? There was a roadway in Oakland,
ground.
California. There was a restaurant in Barstow, California. And results indicate he set fires at the El Cortez Hotel. Now, I'm not staying in a place called El Cortez Hotel. I'm just not. You know they don't clean their sheets very often. After being terminated there... after being terminated at the El Cortez Hotel, this detective, Bob Hilliard, says that this Phil Klein guy burned down the hotel. Klein previously worked at the MGM and was present when the fire broke out. Then he takes this job, I guess, with the Hilton And guess what happens? So was Klein responsible for the blaze as well? Or was it just a coincidence, Brandy?
I don't know. Let's read the story and find the fuck out.
Well, as blues musician Johnny Taylor tells us, where there's smoke, there's fire. Oh, I like that.
I know. And we already talked about it. So let's just keep going.
Keep going. Okay. Take it away, Brandy.
Oh. When asked about the discrepancy.
Kind of pay attention, shall we?
And could you try to stick to the story, Brandy, so, you know.
We can get out of here.
We can get done. People got places to be now.
Yeah.
When asked about the discrepancy in the story.
I got to go trill somewhere.
Little Nasty's got some ladies coming
over. The other two men were mistaken. They've got the MGM or the Hilton mixed up. Or they could get me drawing a diagram sitting around a bar stool trying to compare the Hilton fire with the MGM fire. It's just crazy. It's just crazy.
It is crazy.
It is crazy.
He continues by saying that many influential individuals wanted it to be an arson fire and made offers to him to make it so. But he declined because he's a good guy. And he declined it.
Yeah, I don't think he's that good.
Which involved hundreds of millions of dollars in potential litigation.
Ooh.
You have no idea how many people came up to me, Lomprey stated. I can't believe how many individuals had offered me items over phone conversations for several months.
Offered
even
him
after
items.
Everything
what
was over.
Like a year's supply of turtle wax? I mean, yeah.
He was being offered homes and cars and vacation homes for changing his story, allegedly.
I wonder if they would have gave a printer, because I need a new printer.
Well, Lomprey,
let me say this. Chuck is the only person I know that owns a printer, and I see it behind him.
I have a printer.
I have a printer right here.
The three of you have a printer? Wow, damn. All right.
Yeah, I got a printer. Mm-hmm. But because Lomprey was such a good guy, he simply turned the other cheek.
That printer didn't cost me a lot of chicken either.
I won't do it. Books and movies often romanticize the existence of Las Vegas mobsters. Men who dressed impeccably, had lots of money, spent time with beautiful showgirls, and got to play with Tommy guns.
Okay, just to keep it real here, for me and Lil Nasty's crew, dressed impeccably means they was dripping.
Dripping, yeah.
They had
dripping.
The drip, yeah.
They were dripping, they had the drip. They was fire. Yeah. Go ahead, Devil. Sorry.
You have the drip.
Well, they come in, dripping and flossing, flexing a little bit.
That's called clap.
You know?
That's called the clap. Oh, my God. Jesus.
Brandy, I wish you would stay on track. Yeah. I mean, that's why we can never get these things.
It takes forever.
The life of the Las Vegas gangster, with or without the clap, is such an important part of Sin City's identity. There's a mob museum just steps from Fremont Street downtown.
Ooh.
Philip Klein was the complete opposite type of criminal. There was nothing fancy or flashy about him. He had boosted a few cars and stolen money from friends.
I wonder if they stamp your hand when you go into the crime museum, or they just give you like a ticket stub like in the old days.
It's on your phone. How uncool
is
that?
Oh, it's on your phone.
Yeah, it's on your phone.
Cool as fuck.
Okay.
It's one of those little QR cards.
Right. Oh.
But other than stealing cars and money from his friends, he lived an unassuming, unexamined life with no friends. Klein was fragile, and if someone's... what a bitch. Klein was fragile, and if someone spoke too loudly or suddenly at him, he might break into pieces.
No.
He sounds like your average podcast host, is what he sounds like.
He does.
The only thing extraordinary about Klein was just how dull his life was.
Klein was a jellyfish.
That was until... Yeah,
that's what we call him on the
that
street.
That was until he murdered that street on the west side of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was until he murdered 8 people in the Hilton fire he set, and possibly the 85 people at the MGM Grand. Klein is serving 8 consecutive life terms in the Southern Desert. correctional center for the Hilton murder. Man,
you know, that's hot as fuck, too.
Yeah.
Being in those, it's hot yeah. out there.
Klein says that he never meant to hurt anyone and that in his heart is not a cold-blooded killer he's made out to be.
Some people don't
care about that.
Quote, a lot of people think, I think they think I did it on purpose. And it wasn't done on purpose, he said. I did it. I'm responsible for it. I admit it. I did it.
You pulled a Jack Nicholson up on the stand. You're goddamn right I did it.
Yeah, you did.
I set that fire. Right.
He ordered the code red.
You need me to set the that code fire. Red.
All right, but he didn't mean to hurt anyone or kill anyone. And he says, that's the one thing I want to get across. That's important.
That was cool.
Former Las Vegas detective Chuck Lee,
ooh,
a distant relative of Bruce, who obtained Klein's confession during a polygraph test, has always felt Klein caused the deadly fire on purpose. Maybe it's part of, oh, for fuck's sake, maybe it's part of it of a gay rendezvous on the 8th floor elevator lobby.
Mm. Ooh.
You know what? That'd be a good track for my new vinyl, Timmy. Gay rendezvous.
Gay rendezvous.
It's a gay rendezvous. It's a gay rendezvous. Go ahead, Deb. Proceed.
Even if Klein's claim is true, the perilous nature of his deed speaks for itself. Oh, this motherfucker. Quote, he set the fire, only he knows his intentions, Lee said. You set a fire in a crowded hotel. What do you expect?
Hmm.
Klein is the son of a lifetime Air Force veteran. His family relocated to Vegas in 1980. from his home in the Bay Area. As a child, he ran away from home twice and got into trouble at school, including fighting and stealing. Klein, of course, was a former altar boy and volunteered at his church. But this seemed to be nothing more than a ruse. From his early teen years, Klein was stealing from the collection plate, stealing cars, and committing acts of vandalism.
That was a ruse then.
It was all
a ruse. That was a ruse.
Yeah. As an adult.
If you're going to steal from the thing, the best job to have is an altar boy. Because, you know, in the Catholic Church, there's a lot of inside jobs.
There's a lot of jobs.
You know that. From the Vatican down.
Feel better?
You know, the whole Illuminati thing, they all connect. Lil Nasty's all sideways. There he is.
Well, we're going to get a good look at Lil Nasty's chandelier because he doesn't know what the fuck, how the fuck to set his camera.
Well, I used to work in a Catholic church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's not, I don't think you're making the point you think you are. Anyway.
Oh.
No.
Oh, we lost Lil Nasty.
Oh. All right. As an adult, he'd been accused of embezzlement, possession of burglary tools, and possession of stolen items. Less than 2 weeks before the MGM Grand fire, he entered a guilty plea to a theft of $100 while employed at the El Cortez Hotel. No matter where Klein went, crime seemed to follow, except he wasn't good at it. He was a bumbling fool when it came to crime. Because almost every time he was caught, he could have benefited from a career change. Yes, that's true.
He got his CDL.
And in 2000,
he would have made a good truck driver.
Made a good trucker, an over the road, mm-hmm. possibly.
Yeah.
In 2011, in an interview, Klein said that he wanted to set the record straight. He was ready to reveal information that he'd never given to his lawyers or even those close to him, like his parents. And now he wanted to clear his conscience. So they called Geraldo Rivera, and this is what happened.
You remember that, Colonel, you remember that episode of the Geraldo Rivera show where they got in a big fight on stage and Geraldo got the chair thrown in his face?
Chair in the nose.
How great was that?
Yep.
That was real shit, too.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Lost him completely.
Yeah. Oh, we've lost Lil Nasty. He's gone.
Well,
Lil Nasty punked us.
Let's see. The night of the Hilton fire, Klein states he was working, fulfilling his busboy duties. Klein said that while on his break, he smoked marijuana. Oh, he smoked a marijuana cigarette laced with cocaine and PCP that his roommate had given.
Hold on, let that sink in. a marijuana cigarette with PCP and cocaine. There's a lot going on there.
It's not great. Yeah, it's not good. Klein was sitting on the couch in the elevator lobby of the 8th floor and just kind of drifted off mentally. His roommate, this dumb motherfucker did it on purpose. His roommate had cautioned him against smoking such a potent joint, but Klein ignored him, saying it was just a little bit of each, pot, coke, and PCP, and not to worry. Just a little PCP.
Just a little bit. But you know what? It's really like when you go to the Creamy Whip and you order your sundae and they say, do you want whipped cream and a cherry on there? Well, of course I do. Give me a little PCP. Give me a little cocaine. Yeah, throw it in there.
Let me just say, it's funny you bring that up. We went to get ice cream last night and I ordered a hot fudge sundae. And she asked, do you want whipped cream on a sundae on that? And my always thought is, I ordered a sundae. What do you think? Why are you asking me that?
You know what happened to me? The same thing, Thad. The guy asked me, because I get a caramel sundae. Ooh. I always get caramel sundae.
Well, you're
sundae.
A fancy man. You're fancy.
And the guy said, do you want nuts on that? And I said, not yours. Not yours.
It's an amazing story.
It always throws people off. If they ask if you want nuts on something, just say, not yours.
Okay. We now have a better view of Tim Chandelier. Let's see. So this dumbass, while higher than a giraffe's ass, Klein played with his lighter, flicking it on and off, watching the yellow flame dance. Behind that, he saw the hotel drapes swinging back and forth in the lobby breeze. And for reasons known only to Klein, he flicked his lighter and pressed the flame against the material. He watched as the flame grew, but realized straight away that his little fire show was growing out of control. The fire quickly spread, burning the couch and scaling the drapes. Klein said he informed the hotel manager about the fire by phone. He recalled a security guard racing toward him with a fire extinguisher, but when he pulled the pin, nothing happened. The extinguisher was a dud.
You know what Klein said? Yeah, we got a fire.
Yeah.
There's a fire.
No, he didn't say that. So the flames grew while the guard went in search of another fire extinguisher. Klein pounded on guest rooms' doors to alert them of the fire and to do what they could to get out. The smoke on the ceiling started getting darker and darker and lower, he claimed. I felt afraid.
Klein and other Hilton employees gathered in the parking area and watched as bright flames rose the side of the structure, which at the time was the largest hotel in the world, which ostensibly made this the largest hotel fire in the world.
Doesn't it feel like it was the Joker, like, outside that hospital, like, looking in, hitting the button like it's supposed to explode? That's what it feels like.
Like he's banging on it, trying to get it to actually go? Yeah.
Right. And they're just looking. He's just looking at his work and giggling.
He just knows that he did it.
Yep.
So the flames danced to the night sky. Fear crept in, stirring up memories of the fatal fire at the MGM Grand that had occurred less than 3 months earlier. Fire trucks arrived just after 8 o'clock. Terrified visitors shattered windows and yelled for help. They only had minutes before the flames reached their room. Bruce Glenn, 47, of Plymouth, Minnesota, jumped to his death from a 16th floor window. It was either that or be burned alive. What a terrible choice to have to make. Using bed sheets as rope, guests threw them out the window and tried to climb down. Guests and employees who made it to the rooftop were picked up by helicopters. As the hallways inside the hotel filled with black smoke, staff members advised guests to stay inside their rooms with towels tucked under the doors. Now, you've got to be shitting me. Stay in your room when the motherfucking place is on fire.
What I don't get about the wet towels and the sheets, why don't you soak down a sheet in a wet towel and then just run through the fire?
That would be one way to do it.
You could be like Superman.
There you go.
You just ran right through it. Now, it might singe your hair a little bit. Might be missing some eyebrows. But you'd be fine.
But you ain't going to burn alive.
And get clobbered by a falling beam.
Well, yeah, there's that. I mean, it's always risky, but it's better than jumping 16. Because a 16th floor jump, really...
I don't know what that
is. I mean, the odds are on the house's side on that one, you know?
House always wins that one.
The street always wins it. Unless you land on some poor bastard's car.
You know what? Speaking of winning, you know how our listeners can win. Our listeners can go to Etsy.com and search for Black Cat and Me.
Yes, and they can.
They can. And if you put in Dweeb15, you will get 15% off of your order on all your home needs. And website is beautiful. The products are good. So definitely check it out. Black Cat and Me on Etsy.
Mm-hmm. An international company, I might add.
And they have good taste because
a
they
multinational. It's a multinational podcast. Corporation.
It is multinational corporation with offices all over the place. So Klein watched the horror unfold and thought to himself he would most assuredly pay for what he had done. Well, at least he knows.
You think so, Buster? No, sorry, I shouldn't have used that. But I mean, you have to stand there and go, "Yeah, I did that. I'm fucked."
It does feel like he realized it, right? Like he got the point. He right. knew what was coming. He said, I was thinking, you know, all this stuff I had done prior, stealing cars, stealing money, it was all coming back on me. That's called karma.
It's all coming back to me now.
When you do bad stuff, it comes back on you. You don't get away with nothing, you know. It just comes back and gets you.
I think Brandy is living proof that that is false, Thad.
What?
Karma.
Karma? Oh.
I know. I'm still working on mine.
Karma doesn't Brandy, touch Brandy. She gets away with it.
Riding that broom and spreading evil about the world. And living
she's Teflon Don. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Fuck off. Fuck off. I know people that are Teflon. No, I'm not it.
Okay.
You Velcro?
So no. Velcro.
Everything that flies by kinda. Just sticks right to you.
Just sticks.
So Klein was taken into custody that night and wrote out a statement. Detective Lee knew he was not being honest from the way he slipped up in his writing. The statement read, quote, I grabbed the trash can and filled it with fire. I put it on the couch and then I went to get some more fire and put the curtains out. Now, the word fire was then crossed out and replaced with water. But of course, the detective thought
because he tried to fight fire with fire.
He was trying to fight fire with fire, and because
he said, "Well, let me try some." You know, what would have really worked if they would have had a bunch of baking soda. That works good. But I will tell you what does not work good. People will tell you this:
grease.
Don't use flour, because if you use pre-sifted flour on a fire, and I've done this before, the shit's so fine it will blow up on you when it hits the fire. It starts burning as soon as it hits the fire.
That's good looking out for Buster Booty. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that.
Yeah. The more you know.
So Lee questioned him again and Klein broke down. Klein said he was on the couch having sex with a man named Joe. They were smoking.
Hey, Joe.
They were smoking the marijuana cigarette and inadvertently caught the curtains on fire.
Well, seeds pop.
Like at the same
back
time?
In those days, you had seeds popping all over the place. Who didn't have... Didn't you have shirts with little holes in them all the time?
Yeah. But again, he's having sex with this guy and they're smoking a marijuana. I mean, at the same time, that's a lot.
Well, it was a marijuana PCP cocaine cigarette.
Like, focus up at the same time. Like, focus up. Focus.
See, I can multitask.
One thing or the other.
Just need to learn to multitask.
Let me tell you, as your friend, you cannot.
It's like, hold on. Because I've said a number of times, hold on, I'm giving you the bong and the dong. See? The bong and the dong.
You've never said that.
Yeah.
Nope. No. So, and again, as your friend, rest assured, you cannot multitask. You can barely single task.
I do have some problems.
So let's just do
that. There's a chapter investigators in my book about bonging and donging, so go ahead.
Lee and investigators tried to replicate lighting the curtain on fire with the joint, but it did not work. Myth busted. Also, they were unable to locate Joe.
That's
funny. Some officers believed Klein started the fire to appear heroic. Others said he was an arsonist who started additional fires, including the MGM Grand that claimed the 87 lives we talked about earlier. Klein stated that what happened at the Hilton was never intended to do harm, and that he had nothing to do with the MGM Grand fire, even though he was working at the MGM Grand the night of the blaze. So he was there, and he admits to being there.
But it wasn't
him. He says it wasn't him.
Wasn't me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me. Is that Dave I see in the background? Tell David hello for me.
The MO was the same, but he didn't do what he says. Tim, are you waving at us?
No, he's okay. Waving at Dave.
He's waving at Dave. Okay.
He's waving at Dave. See, me if and all those of... nasty don't even need communication. We mind melded.
You but two share ahead. A brain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. About 3/4 of 1 total.
And all of what Klein was saying was true. Why not just tell the authorities in the first place? Klein said, I didn't want to face the truth. I didn't want to tell people that I was responsible for doing that. I was scared, he said. I thought if they didn't know the truth, I'd be all right, if that makes any sense. Klein was charged with 8 counts of first-degree murder, and the prosecutor was seeking the death penalty. His trial lasted a blistering 7 weeks, and even after scores of expert witnesses, it was the testimony of one woman that likely sealed his fate. In her testimony, the woman described passing a man on a hotel phone who was reporting a fire as she walked down the corridor to fetch some ice. She said she didn't notice any signs of fire until she returned to her room. She says he called it in, and then he started the fire, she stated. He had no intention of harming anyone. He just wanted to be a hero. Klein's lawyer, Kevin...
He's got Munchausen.
Exactly. Klein's lawyer, Kevin Kelly, disagreed that his client was solely to blame. He contended that the hotel should share the blame for the deaths because of its failure to maintain basic fire safety devices like fire alarms and sprinklers. The jurors were not impressed with this lawyer's reasoning and quickly dismissed it. I mean, he tried to help a Hail Mary there, right? Like, he's trying to get someone else on the hook, you know, but that really shit the bed. That did not work at all. David Kelly, the then 36. Oh, I wonder if he was related to Kevin Kelly. Man, we've just got nepotism all over the place, don't we? Look at this.
Oh, my God.
David Kelly.
He probably was.
The then 36-year-old jury foreman said, we couldn't go with the death penalty because we didn't think he did anything to hurt anybody. But we gave him no parole.
Except set a fire.
But we gave him no parole because the MGM, he should have known how disastrous hotel fires could be.
Bet he was hurting Joe.
Poor Joe.
Reaching around for that bone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Although the jury decided to...
Joe. Having sex on a couch is not the most comfortable thing you would think. You know, people talk about it, but it's not really. Dom's getting away. You fall off. The cushion slip. I mean, it's just... Just saying.
And at any moment, I mean, you're in a hotel lobby. Okay. Any moment, someone could walk by. So,
well, was he having the sex in the hotel lobby or on the couch?
Yes, on the couch of the hotel lobby. The
hotel lobby on the eighth floor.
I mean, that's just
a monocum.
That's just
a monocum of trouble.
It is.
I mean, it's just very little good. I mean, who among us hasn't tried to knock one off on a hotel couch lobby in the lobby of a hotel? All of us. And plus, he had fire. You know those arsonists, they like to when they see fire.
Wow.
It's a scientific fact. Most arsonists set fires, go stand a safe distance away, and masturbate. Don't you watch Forensic Files?
So what we're saying is, had he just jerked off, then all these people would have not perished.
Well, that's how they solve them. They find their DNA on the sidewalk about 50 yards away. That's the first thing Austin investigators do is they make a 50-yard perimeter and look for DNA on the sidewalk.
Around the sidewalk. That's what they do.
So he was sentenced to He was sentenced to 8 consecutive life terms without the possibility of any type of release. So guaranteed the prison would be the final address he ever called home. In order to avoid the agony of replaying the night in his head, poor Philip. We really feel for him. Yeah.
Right.
It's all about him. He remained busy while serving nearly 3 decades in the Nevada State Prison. He earned a high school diploma, as well as sorting and repackaging casino playing cards, which are sold to tourists.
There you go.
Klein has sought to get in touch with the victims' families. He once requested that a friend look up their addresses, but his buddy talked him out of it, saying no good could come of that.
Because they're dead.
Well, the victims' families. He wanted to reach out to the victims' families, yeah. What was that?
Keep up.
What was that, Brandy?
I said, I can't believe he's still, I can't believe he has a friend.
Exactly. After doing all
that
of that.
He stole from.
That's the definition of a ride or die.
Yeah. He's going to have sex with Joe on the couch in a hotel lobby. I bet he's making friends in prison. I'm just saying.
Now, what do we think? Is an arsonist more of a pitcher or a catcher?
An arsonist is definitely a catcher.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. All right.
And they
Tim
make
agrees.
A lot of friends in prison.
Okay. All right. So he says, knowing what I did cannot be undone disturbs me. I am unable to return those eight people. The fact that I can't ease what I've done is what bothers me the most, Klein said. Again, let's pour some out for Philip. In the aftermath of the two fires, the state began to reform fire codes, requiring sprinklers and smoke detectors, while also placing tighter restrictions on the types of building materials used in construction. So there is a positive. There's a silver lining to this story that the state did a lot better with anti-fire accoutrements. And that's the story.
Nice.
So he still, to this day, is in the Nevada State Prison. And will likely end his days there.
You know, when he says the fact that I can't erase what I've done is what bothers me the most, I bet the fact that he's sitting in prison for the rest of his life bothers him the most.
Maybe.
That might be what it is.
I bet that he's that the lotto they play with him, you know, in prison is what bothers him the most.
So let's ask. So let's go down the panel here. Let's see. So we've got two theories on how the MGM Grand fire started. Do you think that it was the pastry container, Brandy, or do you think that this guy set the fire?
Well, hold on.
No, he set that fire.
Let me speak for little nasty here real quick.
But he didn't ask you. It was my question. He didn't ask you a fucking thing yet. He didn't ask you a fucking thing yet. This is my question. Of course he lit that fire. And I'm just going to keep on talking so that Chuck can't talk anymore without being interrupted because he's fucking annoying today.
So Brandy thinks that the guy set both fires. Because, again, he was there that day. The MO was almost the exact same.
We all do.
It would seem very coincidental. All right. Yes. Chuck, what do you think? Was it the pastry oven or was it Philip Klein?
Well, I have an outlier theory, Thad.
Oh.
That nobody's really looked into it.
Okay.
But they was on the hotel in the lobby on the couch, right? And you know those things are made back then, not fireproof material, right? So Joe gets going, you know, he gets at a pretty good pace.
This is not what happened.
And if you don't keep that thing, kind of oiled up real good, it's like when you're using a chainsaw and shit starts smoking, you know? Now, get done. Joe just plops down on the couch, not knowing his ass is an ember. And then, poof, the couch goes up. When the couch goes up, the curtains go up, the whole hotel comes down. So use a little bit more lube.
Tim is sending us notes like he's been kidnapped.
Tim said it's the fucking pastries.
Okay.
It was the pastries. It was a pastry chef, really.
You know, no one ever looked at the pastry chef.
Nobody ever looked at the pastry chef.
What the fuck? We're getting these old fucking notes.
Motherfucker, sit on, you know, he's got some souffles.
That big dumbass floppy
they
hat.
Fell down. Yeah, that big hat. His souffles get all fucked up, and he's like, you've seen Hell's Kitchen, right? You've seen the shows. Those chefs are fucking crazy. They got, you know, the chicken gets a little burnt. He'll burn the whole goddamn building down. Why did nobody ever look at that?
I think, you know what? I'm beginning to, I think I'm changing my answer. I think Philip Klein was the patsy. I think he was.
He was the Lee Harvey Oswald in this.
Oh, my God.
It was the pastry chef. We should have them reopen this case, and we should do what we can to get Philip Klein exonerated.
Now, I'm not going to say Klein's completely innocent because we haven't ruled him out of the Kennedy shooting.
Patsy Klein.
Patsy Klein had something to do. he's the Patsy Klein.
Patsy Klein.
Excellent.
And that's from Tim. You got to know that Patsy Little Klein nastiest. Line comes from Tim.
That was excellent.
Who does not have a mic
that was
anymore.
Lil Nasty is taking a vow of silence.
Yes.
For our listeners. So.
I know. On that note, it's time
Devin,
to go.
What do they call that color?
So, thank everybody.
Lil Nasty, ho. Devin, what do they call that color on your fingers?
Yeah, no.
Is that day glow green? Or?
Oh, No, it's shut the fuck up green because now I have to go to work and we are done. And so everybody, I can't wait to see everybody at DweebCon. Tim will actually talk instead of holding up ransom notes. And it's all going to be, it's all going to be wonderful. So
we'll have a podcast before then, for fuck's sake.
I know. Well, maybe if you decide to show up.
We're good about every 3 weeks, so we'll see. I mean, we're going to be pushing it. But don't forget, if you're listening to this one now, the next time we podcast, we're going to put out about 10 or 15 minutes of video. So you'll get to see all of our beautiful faces with some raw footage of the first few minutes of the podcast. And we're going to put bets down on whether Chuck will be here for that first 10 minutes. So
and
go to FanDuel.com, put your bets down. We'll see what happens.
FanDuel
in his boxes.
And it's oh, put that away. Jesus.
All right, everyone. We'll see you next time on History Dweebs. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye.
Fuck that Darla too. She's a tease.
But you know, and I just put in my name because I'm a normal fucking person.
December 4th, one day before the Colonel's birthday. By the way, who has yet to join us, you can see his empty fucking chair there.
If one was so inclined, where might one find a copy of this script we're doing?
Yank me, turn me over and spank me.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.